Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. They come out this Friday, and every Friday there's an all-new music happy hour going on. 10% off any purchase, and free beer from Four Hands Brewery. And of course, vinyl spinning and new records in store from Prince, Nina Simone, and much more. Hey, also, they have a lot of great live in stores on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and this Saturday, July 23rd, live in store from the Langoliers and Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. And then come out on Sunday, July 24th, Justin Johnson and Melinda Cooper live in-store performance. Both of those 2 to 4 p.m. So come out, grab some new music, check out some fine local music, check out the local music selection there on the shelves. And if you want to get any of your music in stores, please reach out and see how you can make that happen. They follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. This episode is sponsored by Game Trader 2 in St. Charles, Missouri. They wanted to tell you about Mo GameCon going on August 13th, and that'll be at Elks Lodge 330 in Afton, Missouri. Tickets will be $10 or $5 plus two canned goods. There will also be exclusive event t-shirts for sale, and vendors, special guests include Adam Korelick of YouTube and the Rocket Punch Radio and Video Game Show podcast, and many others. There's going to be one going on, and like I said, lots of great local vendors and competitions and all kinds of things. So if you're into gaming, come check it out. August 13th, 12 to 7 p.m. in Afton, Missouri. Visit mogamecon.com for more information and tickets. That's mogamecon.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with the guys of... Is it the Big Rigs? Or
we just changed it to the Big Rigs. It's always been Big Rigs, but we just put the in it like 2 weeks ago.
So the Big Rigs.
The Big Rigs.
We're going with it.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us, buddy.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. I guess probably be good to everybody say hi and introduce yourself so those listening know your voices.
I'm Greg Jansen, from Kirkwood, Missouri, St. Louis.
Tyler Christensen, from here in St. Louis.
I'm Greg Clark, from St. Louis, Eureka.
This episode, you guys have a brand new EP coming out, and we're going to kind of do a little album review type of a... So you're going to be able to hear all the songs on this episode.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Before they're released.
Yeah. And so this, the EP will be available for pre-order on July 21st. So if you're listening to this, then go ahead and pre-order it. Or if it's after all that, it will be officially released on July 29th.
Yes, sir.
And yep. You can grab then too. So you guys are planning to put out in physical format, right? CDs?
And, we're going to do.
We got off track a little bit. This is supposed to be done on the 24th of June.
Yep.
And the power just surged.
Yeah,
no big deal. No, no big deal. It's supposed to be out on the 24th of June, and then we realized that the mastering and the mixing and whatnot all took a lot longer than we thought.
Yeah.
So we don't have any physical copies yet, but we will.
Sure. Yeah. It was at, do you guys like to do it on vinyl or anything else, too? Or
we're going to get a couple copies for sure, yeah.
I think that would be cool.
Absolutely.
I think, I do feel like it's been made slightly more affordable in recent years.
Yeah, big time.
But it's still kind of expensive for, you know, independent artists and things. But, I mean, for me, there's not probably not much cooler than seeing your name on a record, though, to...
Right.
You know, yeah, so we're at least going to get three vinyls.
Yeah, just like personal.
But anybody else want one, but we have three vinyls. We're not going to oversell it because I'm not sure anybody else would buy it.
Yeah.
We'll see how the CDs do first.
Sure. But you guys definitely have that sound that would, I think, would fit with a vinyl record, though, because, like, just listening to it just kind of, I don't know, just one, immediately started listening. I feel like I already know all these songs. Like, I'm singing along to them already, and it's like, it's just kind of a cool feeling to put in some music and it already feels that familiar to it, just like that kind of you know, 70s kind of classic rock. Like, I don't know, I feel like especially with the harmonies, like there's some of that, like you know, Doobie Brothers or Alabama or something.
Cool.
Along those veins of kind of groups like that southern rock and stuff.
It's better than being more formatted for, like, a shitty cassette tape.
Yeah,
sure. Exactly.
You take that long on a really bad recording cassette tape.
You guys would be great on 8-track, man.
8-track. Yeah. Right. I'd even take 8-track. That's fine.
Right. But, yeah, no, I like I said, I was really digging it. I listened to it twice this afternoon on the way over here. So, it was, sounds great, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it
very much.
So let's start with track one. You said that's How to Love, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's the, is there?
How to Love, parentheses, How to Lose.
Okay.
So I guess you just say How to Love, How to Lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Make it confusing.
We're doing the Fall Out Boy thing.
Yeah. And where is, any stories behind this track?
It's your typical breakup song. But you'll get over it, you know. It's
sure.
It kind of speaks for itself. I mean, it's
right.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah,
just a typical breakup song.
Yeah.
I can see that look in your eye. Growing tired of this constant fight. Your disposition through the years has changed. Now it's time we go our separate ways. Like a book that ain't been written, and a song that ain't been sung. You can go anywhere you choose, 'cause now I've learned how to love and how to lose. We were young, this love was strong, but in the back of my mind I knew this day would come. On these hands that pack my things, I thank God that there's no wedding ring. Like a book that ain't been written, and a song that ain't been sung. Song that ain't been sung. You can
Do you guys, like, throughout the record, I mean, do you guys write a lot of these together? And
or how we'll throw ideas around a lot. Greg's a real, Greg Clark, that is. He's a wordsmith. He puts a lot of it together. I mean, we'll throw him ideas, but he gets it all together.
Sure. It works out. I mean, I have, like, an idea for lyrics. Tyler has an idea for guitar, and then Greg takes it to a whole new level.
Tells us what's shitty or not out of that.
Yeah, not quite. Like, we have really basic melodies and stuff, and when we go to Greg with it, and it's just like, here, just Jansen.
Right, yeah.
I think when we all get together, though, something else comes out of it. You know, it's always better when we're all three sitting in the room.
Sure.
Putting right. something together. Yeah. It comes out differently than what if we did it on our own.
Yeah.
Because we have backgrounds, our influences are really completely different.
Way different.
And when it comes together, it just seems to work for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Is that a verb now? Jansen it up?
Jansen it up, yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to Jansen it up for a long time.
I don't even attempt to Jansen it
up. So we got track two is Damn Sure, right?
Yep.
So, again, you got anything about this one? Recording it or anything? Or?
You know, that kind of happened the same way. I mean, Clark came up with some lyrics, and Tyler had a lot to do with... That was your Mando riff in there, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Tyler wrote the mandolin and, part.
Yeah.
And then, when we got together to just, you know, kind of came up with a melody, I think, and kind of ran with what they kind of put down with it. And
that was the first time that I realized I wrote words before the song was written. And just reading the words without any music, I was like, these are terrible. These lyrics are absolutely terrible. But I'm like, I'll take them to Tyler and see what he thinks. And he had a guitar part he had already been working up, and we kind of made the two work together. And I was like, well, they're not that bad out of context with a guitar part with him and with Greg singing them.
Yeah.
So that seemed to happen a couple times where I was like, these lyrics are garbage. And then you put music and Greg's voice on it, and it's like, wow, those sound really
some good harmonies, right? You know, the harmonies help.
Yeah, you actually get some tracks down in the studio. And
that's a toe tapper, you know?
It's weird how you get more excited about it the more you track it, then you'd figure it'd be the other way around. You're like, oh, this is going to be cool, we're going to go track it. But that one, we're kind of like, every time we went to the studio, we just got more and more excited about it. So,
yeah.
Sometimes I think that it ain't so bad. Other times their life I wish I had. Then I know right where and when. Dreams they end and real life begins. Down for the day, sleep the whole night for a change. My time away is getting old, but the bills are paid and my pockets are full. I keep trying to leave, but I can't find the door, and I'm dead. Or make a change. No, it's all the same to me. Is this who you want me to be? Wear a smile because it's all you know. You sold us tickets to your show. The day I put this guitar day you put me in the ground. 'Cause I'm trying to leave.
You guys recorded this with John, right?
John Heiser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the name of it?
Absinthe Studios.
Yeah, there it is. I knew I was over there recording with him, but I forgot what the name of the place was. It was right there.
Yeah. He's a hell of an engineer.
Yeah.
For sure. He did a good job.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. The production value on the album is, I mean, like I said, it just sounds great. You guys,
all the
instruments and your harmonies and everything, it all come together really nicely on the record. So then track three, Whiskey and Water, is this like the single, you would say, or how?
It's the title track, and I mean, we're just putting it out there, and whatever kind of catches, we're just going to go with it, really. I mean, we don't really have a single right now at this point, do we?
I think we'll have videos for, we'll have performance videos or videos of some sort for Damn Sure and Whiskey and Water.
Yeah.
And Whiskey and Water just seemed like more of a fitting EP title.
Yeah. This is one, for me, like I really just connected to the lyrics a lot, and I really liked the song a lot, and that message, the lines there in the chorus were, you know, whiskey and water keep me alive, without one or the other, I don't know if I'd be alive, I survive, yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, but I was close.
I forget him sometimes.
Yeah. But like I said, it's a great, you know, message there, and it's like it just, I don't know, I connected a lot to it. Yeah, I don't drink a lot, I don't drink whiskey hardly at all, but just I can relate to it. Was, believable and stuff, you know.
It hits home for a lot of people, you know, it's affected just about everybody. Knows somebody that's going through it, so.
Yeah, but like it just, for me, it's like that believability of it, you know. Sometimes I hear some songs, the pop songs on the radio and stuff, singing about, you know, whatever, big houses and cars and all this glamorous lifestyle that I know nothing about, but you know, like hearing something like that, like I can connect to those lyrics and you know, relate to what they're singing about and stuff. So
cool.
It kind of started with the when I first started writing the lyrics for that, it started as like the glamorous pop country, and I was like, you know, this could be like a cool, like whiskey and water, like that's what you drink when you go out, and, you know. And then I realized I have no business writing any songs like that, and I hate music like that, as a matter of fact. So I had some things happen personally that led to it turning much, much darker. And I think it worked out. I think it's a better song that way, obviously. I don't like the pop country stuff, so I think it worked out.
Sure.
Empty. The lights, they're all burnt out. It's dark in here already, and the sun is going down. I sit here all alone in a house that once was home, but she's gone and left me here. The greatest pain I've ever known. When it all comes crashing down, and it's more than I can take, I fill my glass up to the top, forget all my mistakes. So it's whiskey and water to keep me alive. Without one or the other, don't know if I'd survive. Like the air in my lungs and the blood in my veins, nothing in this world makes me feel the same. Thank you.
see everything. I see the glass as half empty, so I fill it way up high. 'Cause at the end of the tunnel, there ain't no light inside. 'Cause when it all comes crashing down, and this pain. If I survive, like the air in my lungs and the blood in my veins, even though I know I'm the only one to blame.
Yeah, it reminded me, just, well, let alone the fact that it's about whiskey, but Chris Stapleton, that whole record he put out, is, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how many times he says whiskey in that album, but but there's a lot of whiskey influence on that record. So.
No doubt.
But either way, I mean, like Traveler is one of my favorite records, and like I said, this song's right up there with that. It's a great, great song.
Thank you.
So.
Thanks.
So yeah, then we got track 4 would be The Flood. And anything about that?
Flood is one of those ones where, I mean, we started going to John to record, you know, years ago, and that was one we started, how long ago was that, 2 years ago?
It's been over 2 years.
That was one of the first one we kind of sat down all three together and said, let's try to write a song real quick.
And we had that acoustic part, and we had some of the lyrics, and we just kept going back to it. Like, oh, because we never thought it was going to make even the EP. We just kept going back to it and kept going back to it and adding stuff and changing lyrics and redoing vocals. And it came together, and we were actually proud to have it on the EP when it was all said and done.
Yeah. We put it out, I guess, or I put it out.
Yeah, we...
I put it out, I guess, over... It's been a year and a half now, right? It's been out for that long.
Yeah.
At least a year.
I put it on iTunes before it was finished.
And yeah, that's and John changed got mad since then.
Because... John and I had some back and forth about that, and I was wrong. I shouldn't have put it on iTunes. I'm sorry, John. But it's been out for a year and a half, and then we're like, no, we're not going to put it on the EP because it's just, you know, it's already been out. And then John's like, why don't you just remix it and make it, you know, change it up enough to where it's, you know, worth listening to again. And I think we did. I mean, I think the remix now is worth listening to again.
Yeah,
right. And it sounds like a different song.
Yeah, I got a whole new love for it after that. Yeah.
She's never gonna know it, but we're bound to find out. Started down south now, but it doesn't matter where we go. Headed back home, it's the only thing I know. Oh,
So this project has been like 2 years
ago? Well, then we started it, and then, you know, we kind of fall off of it, and then here in the past like year, we actually been working on it.
We started a couple songs and then kind of decided not to go through with those.
Right, yeah.
And after that, these kind of started snowballing for us.
We got together, I think it happened like one night, we're like, we're going to record, we're going to start recording original music. This is probably 2.5 years ago. And we had to go to Sawhorse Studios the next day to start drum tracks for these new songs that we hadn't even written yet. So Tyler came over to my house and we're like throwing songs together because we didn't have anything. And we're like, all right, let's just try to put 3 tracks that we can do drums to tomorrow so no one gets pissed off and we don't have to cancel on them. One of them was The Flood, and 2 of them are songs that are just sitting there that aren't done.
Yeah.
But the Flood's been around for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And then, so everything else is fairly new, written?
More recent, yeah. I wouldn't say fairly new. I mean, there's...
Help's old, but the other three are less than a year old, right?
Yeah.
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 What, you guys, so like you're saying, Greg writes that you bring a lot of these lyrics, and then you guys try to just figure it out together. Then how to orchestrate them, then or do you like it all?
You mean the process of it?
Yeah, like
I mean, most of it is just like,
or does that come together?
Just voice recorder on iPhones and sending them back and forth, and send both these to, yeah, I'm like, you guys like that? I'm like, yeah, it's all right, and then that, you know, means no, or
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Very rarely does Tyler send anything that I'm like,
yeah, it's most of the stuff. He's a riff machine. Good.
How much of these like change though when you come to life in a studio?
As far as the parts, like most of the time, the acoustic parts that we'll send to each other, they'll stay identical, and we'll just build a song around it. Really,
yeah. That's the first thing we do as a scratch track is usually what he sends us to, you know, sample whether we like it or not, and then that usually ends up being the base of it. And I think all of them have stayed the same for the most part.
Yeah, basically,
absolutely.
That's cool. Yeah, I kind of it's kind of fun. You know, I follow a lot of bands, and you know, you get the like their scratch track basement demo type of you know, recordings, and you hear those compared to how they came to life in a studio. And sometimes it's like a, you know, totally different song, unrecognizable.
Right.
And then sometimes it's exactly what they had in mind, and it worked. But
ours is pretty straightforward. I think Hotta Love's the one that kind of...
Hotta Love didn't come to life until late.
And we had Abby on the fiddle.
Yeah, we had Abby Styling play fiddle on a bunch of these songs, and then John Higgins played steel on a few songs, and that's when they really... I mean, they're both incredible musicians.
Sure.
That added a ton.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that, you can't go wrong with some steel on there.
Yeah, that's what we figured.
He was awesome.
Yeah. He's so good.
So the last track closing out the EP, you guys chose, With a Little Help from My Friends. How'd that come to be?
Started recording this right after Joe Cocker died, so that tells you how old this is.
Yeah.
He's been gone for years.
Yeah. I think it started,
we've always covered it acoustic.
I think I started playing that once, like when you guys were one of your 5 or 10 pee breaks during a
playing
gig. And I was like, why am I playing this song? Why am I playing guitar on this? I think Tyler, you started playing, and then it just kind of evolved, and then we started all three playing it, and it sounded much better when you guys were playing guitar.
Sure.
And then we decided to record.
Are you doing talk box on the chorus on that?
Mm-mm.
No? How's that,
the high John part. Put like a filter of some sort on there.
Okay.
It sounded kind of dry by itself, and I don't know if it was, because, you know, in the original song, you got all the background singers and these ladies that are just absolutely murdering the song.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing, so I think we need just a little something beefier there, I think.
Yeah.
But it sounded
good.
It almost sounded like, because I've seen you play talk box, and I thought maybe we were doing it through the talk box or something, because it almost
had an idea. That's a good idea.
It sounds almost like that, like because it's like it's not like real clear, like it's got that filter on it, like so I thought maybe
it's almost
it's like you
distorted it a little bit too.
Yeah.
But it, like, I think in little tweaks like that kind of help make it your guys' own. You know, it's like you're not doing the Beatles or Joe Cocker or whatever you guys are doing at a Big Rigs version. So
we changed up enough, I think.
Sure.
With that one, it was tough because there's a few parts that you kind of have to keep in order to keep in line with the original. So you're not going to make it any better than Joe Cocker's version, which
might
be arguably the best cover of all time.
I agree. No doubt.
So it's like, why even mess with it? But I think ours is different enough to where it's Greg's vocals definitely change it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's definitely more dynamic in singing that song, and, you know, he has to cover, you know, background singers, and he has to cover Joe Cocker's voice all in...
Which is impossible.
Which is impossible, but I think he did a good job.
Yeah, especially, you know, the... I get high. You went way high on a high note there, man. It sounded good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Squeeze them nuts.
To sing how to keep. Yeah.
also, you know, going along with the Joe Cocker version and stuff, you guys put out this like promo video of you guys as like the Wonder Years opening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know, I loved it. I thought it was, I mean, I didn't realize, you know, before when I saw the video that you guys did help on this record. So, but when I heard that the version and everything, that I put it all together, it made a lot of sense. But I commend you guys on that. I thought it was really well done and put together nicely, and
that was fun.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, who didn't watch The Wonder Years?
Sure.
Oh, my God. I think I watched The Wonder Years more after we did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it was just like, it was very good, like, you know, shot for shot kind of thing that you guys, but, you know, it was a lot of fun to, and like I probably hadn't watched that in, I don't know, whatever, 15 years or something like that.
Right.
So, like, it was fun to. But yeah, probably.
When we were putting it together, it's funny. There's the two shots that are from the original opening. There's the one with Kevin with the baseball bat, and I'm like, for some reason, I can just picture Greg with that baseball bat, and, like, waving to the camera and stuff. Then there's one where Paul Pfeiffer runs up to the camera with the football and waves at the camera. I'm like, that I can see Tyler doing
that's
that.
Sure,
like, it's, for some reason, it's like I picture Tyler running up to that camera and doing it.
Yeah, it's funny. And then what are you like? Punching him on the stairs or running up, like, so yeah, it was
that hit a little too close to home.
who'd you guys shoot that with?
We shot it. Greg's brother is a videographer of sorts.
Okay.
He came out and shot it, and I edited it for the building we're in now. So I mean, we all kind of came up with ideas and
cool. Yeah, like I said, it looked good. And so if you haven't seen that, I would go to Facebook, The Big Rigs STL, right?
Something like that. Big Rigs.
I think Facebook. The Facebook is Big Rigs STL.
Yeah.
Or The Big Rigs. You can find either way.
Search for it, you'll find it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, you guys are on have Facebook page. You can go like that. And then, like I said, you can see the video on there. Let's mention some of these dates. You can come see these guys live and pick up, hopefully pick up physical copies of these shows, right?
So
we got Billy G's in Kirkwood August 8th, Mike Duffy's August 19th, and then Jilly's Steakhouse September 2nd, right?
Sure.
So yeah, come out to these shows. Come see these guys and pick up a copy of the brand new EP. How does Big Rigs even become? You know what you guys? I mean, how did you guys start jamming together and stuff?
Me and Greg Clark, we played acoustic. You know, just the two of us acoustic. You know, at a couple local bars, and we knew he could sing.
I work with Clark.
It's a big weird circle.
Like he started working at the golf course I'm a pro at, and he was like 2002, I guess, wasn't it? 2003?
It was 2002. I was 16.
Yeah. And I always had some silly song stuck in my head. I'd be singing at work or whatever, and just got me to come out and play with him one night, I guess. And
he always sang falsetto, and it was always like really good falsetto. And I was like, this guy's got to be able to sing. And then, you know, I heard him sing a couple times, and we played. Tyler and I played his dad's. Tyler and I were the Big Rigs for probably 6 months to a year. And we play at this one bar out by our house because they would let us drink for free. And we were both poor, so we went up there and played to drink and eat. And
they still do.
And we still, we still would. Todd's Canteen. I don't know if I think everybody's heard of Todd's Canteen at this point. Greg asked us if we'd play his dad's 50th birthday party or 60th birthday party.
50th.
It was 60. It's his 60th birthday party. So Tyler and I went up and played. We're like, Greg, you got to get up and sing one song with us. And he's like, oh, all right, I'll get up and play one song. And he's so nervous, even around
his family.
12 people, you know, there's 12 people in there. And he's, you know, an incredible singer. He gets up there and kills it, and we're like, all right, man, you got to come out to this next gig and sing a couple more with us. He's like, all right. So he came out and sang, you know, 10 the next time, and then it just exponentially got bigger and bigger.
And then I bought a Cajon.
Then he bought a Cajon, yeah, because at the golf course he was always beating on the counter, and he was always could keep tempo. We're like, man, that's perfect. Like, how can you not? That's perfect. All you got to do is sit on this box, beat it like a countertop, and sing. That's it.
And usually that's all we do when we play these shows, that we'll play acoustic and he'll play the Cajon and sing, and it's just the three of us, and yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. What and why, where Big Rigs come out of, where, how that name come to be?
I don't know.
I think my friend Dan Bruce actually came up with that a long time ago. Before I had ever met Tyler, he was like, man, cool, but just in passing, it was like, cool band name, be the Big Rigs. And I was like, huh. And then he moved, and I started playing with these guys, and I was like, man, Big Rigs would be a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
I don't know, he probably won't listen to this, but if he does, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. So, what do you guys, foresee doing with this EP? I mean, would you guys like to tour out of this at all, or do anything like that, or just stay here locally and...
We're just going to see what happens, yeah. Really. I mean, we're going to obviously keep writing, either way. But, yeah.
We'll probably try to follow this up pretty quick, I think. Yeah. I mean, at least I think I would like to follow this up pretty quick.
Like, right.
At the end of the year, start writing and recording again.
And play some shows with the full band, too, recreate that.
Sure.
I would like to do that, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would definitely like to start playing some original shows and getting hooked up with some bands around town. There's a lot of really good talent in St. Louis, especially for this kind of music that people don't know a lot about, like the ones you just rubies, like you just showed us. I mean,
there's
great stuff.
There's a lot of, I mean, that's kind of the fun of this show for me too, is like kind of putting together these, even if maybe if it doesn't exactly happen how I envision, but I sort of putting together shows that I, bands that I want to see together. And just kind of pulling the strings and trying to make something happen, make recommendations. Like, I've got a lot of friends that book in all these venues and stuff, and I'm like, hey, this would be a cool band to put on the show and stuff like that. And sometimes I take my suggestions, sometimes they don't, but it's always cool like to kind of pairing people up, because like you're saying, there is St. Louis is as big of a city, it's still a small city, but like we there's a lot of people playing all over different parts of the town,
mm-hmm.
and they don't always get to go out to all the shows because they're playing their own shows, and they don't get to meet these people as much. So I'm trying to kind of play the middle ground and kind of introduce people to each other and stuff a little bit. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's tough. Awesome. Greg's busy all the time, and Tyler and I are busy every weekend with Queens, and it's like we don't get to go see anybody it's like we need that connection somewhere to figure out who the hell we should be playing with if we're going to play some original shows.
Sure, yeah, but I could see, especially, like I said, something like a Whiskey and Water kind of getting some good traction on radio and things too, with with the success of guys like Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson even, and all these guys. There's a lot of resurgence of that, roots country coming mm-hmm. back, so... I think it would fit well along with that stuff. So
yeah, that's kind of what we had in mind. I mean, not touring with those guys or anything.
Right.
That's kind of what we had in mind when we were writing and recording it.
For sure. Yeah. So again, pre-order July 21st, and it'll be available in full. And when you pre-order, you get that Whiskey and Water single. As a single, not the single, since we haven't.
It's one of the
title track.
And then full album will be out on July 29th. So yeah, that's exciting stuff, man. So hopefully get to writing and maybe a follow up here the end of the year, maybe. So.
Definitely.
Yeah, we're definitely already kind of in the process a little bit.
Any of those songs that you said, like the two that you went in there to Sawhorse do drum tracks on and stuff, like any of those, like think might make the second one, or are those?
I think we've got one
that's done. I mean, one that's essentially done.
Yeah,
we didn't like the lyrics to it, and then we wrote the rest of these around it, and then we tried to go back to it, and it didn't really fit what we were doing. But now I think we kind of have an idea on maybe recycling that one and using that one.
It's got potential.
I don't know. I go back and forth. Sometimes I think our next one should be really stripped down and just acoustic.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. You know, it's like this is just an EP. It's not even a full album. So it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. I like that stripped down acoustic sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's where a lot of my taste is, a lot of singer-songwriter, guitar, just, mm-hmm. Keep it simple. But, obviously you're saying you got some violin and steel and all the, you have some other instruments on this record, but it's not overdone at all. I think it's very tastefully done. It's like you listen to a lot of today's, pop country on the radio, and just everything just feels way overproduced, and it's too much going on, I think.
And we kept that in mind recording too. It's weird telling a producer that sounds too good.
Yeah.
Like that,
And it's easy to do, it seems like, with all the technologies out there, you can make everything sound so clean.
It's easier to make it sound perfect than it is to get any kind of emotion or character out of it, And to get the character out of it, it's just the take and using the take as it is, as opposed to going in and just doctoring the shit out of it so it's perfect.
Well, you want to be able to recreate it live, Like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff is... there are so many bands that it goes both ways, but so many bands can go in and cut a great record but can't do it live, and then there's so many bands too that are just incredible live, and for whatever reason they can't capture that in the studio. So obviously you want to be somewhat close to what you're putting out on a record and putting out on your stage show. So
we're excited for the live shows, as the big rigs are going to be pretty different because we're used to just the three of us. So I think Abby's going to play fiddle, and we're going to have the guys from Queens Boulevard play. Brian Porter's going to play drums. Tom, our lead singer, is going to play bass. And we haven't talked to John Higgins yet, but we're hoping he'll play steel so that we'll have the whole deal. Yeah. Like everything on the record.
Sound big and fat.
So.
Is that you guys planning a release party of any sort?
Yeah, we're planning we're planning that. We've talked to some venues, and we don't have anything set yet. But we're definitely going to try to do
our goal is to get one going.
An album release of some sort.
Yeah, that'd be fun to throw a big party for it, and like I said, do that big full band and do all these songs and stuff. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah.
Maybe calling you for some help.
Yeah, I know a guy. like I said, I would love to help. Send some suggestions or any whatever I can do to help out. So,
you're a good man, Shane.
Oh, thank you. So I guess keep an eye out for the release party. Follow these guys on Facebook. Keep up all the dates and pre-order the record. Anything else going on, guys?
That's about it. Just ready for this thing to be out.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a huge relief, something you've been working, especially if you guys saying almost 2 years kind of going into some of the stuff, and to finally have it done and then out there for the people to hear.
Right.
I'm sure that's just a huge load off. And
yeah, it works out.
It is.
No doubt.
Yeah, we're tired of putting the little 10-second clips on Facebook.
And not just that, and having unfinished tracks for that, for 2 years, be like, oh, let me hear. I'm like, oh, well, it's just feel weird letting, it's not done.
Yeah. Yeah, but now it's done and something to be very proud of. And
thanks.
Like I said, it's a very, very solid EP. Especially if you, I feel like if you didn't know the Big Rigs, I felt like this is a great introduction, and you get a lot of different sounds and style throughout the record. It stays true to kind of that Southern rock kind of a country feel to it, but you guys do a lot of different stuff. It's not just all five tracks. It's not exactly the same. So
thank you.
I think it's a good introduction to the Big Rigs and what you guys can do, and
thank you very much. Some great
songs. So I'm excited to see what happens in the near future. Hopefully next time we'll be doing this on your tour bus or something.
We gotta get to writing.
Yeah
no kidding. So,
well, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Good time.
Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.